Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I can see from my window the dogs frolicking in the rain, of course it's raining, it's December, near Vancouver, British Columbia. Don't be smirking too much, you people in Seattle, I know you got the same deal going on there. Rain, go away, till March, I think. We'll be saying that. But some of the world is cold and some of the world is hot and some of the world is dry and emergencies happen. We get floods. We get hurricanes. We get fires. Sometimes you're coming home from work and you just don't know when it's going to hit you. All of a sudden, there's a flag person telling you you can't drive into your neighborhood anymore. And what did you do about the dog? What did you do about the dog? What did you do about the cats? What about those stickers you stuck on the window? Well, there's a new benchmark in pet safety. And we're going to be talking to Cammie Thumwood about that. Welcome to the show, Cammie.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you. So you're from petalert.com, Pet Alert. And tell us, please, what's the kit you've got on the website there?
It's called Pet Alert Emergency Information System, and it was developed with first responders. To have proper information in your home, in your wallet, in your car, RV, so they know when or how or who to help your pets in case of your injury, medical emergency, house fire, or evacuation. It's a complete kit that covers up to five pets per kit, so it's basically covering five pets for a lifetime for $35, so it's $7 each. So it's very affordable, and it follows fighter protocol, and it's not a sticker, because stickers are mostly negated by fire departments because they don't really tell them anything, and they don't, or if they do have any type of pertinent information like phone numbers, people actually are using it to pretend they're first responders and actually break into homes by pretending.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, they call the owners and say, it says you have two dogs. Are they friendly? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we have an incident here. How long will it take you to get there?
Oh, and that's diabolical. Oh, and then you say things like, well, the key's in the back and you could just crawl in and don't forget to tell Rover he's a good dog because that's his name and then he won't bite you. Oh, and you just like open right up for them. Oh, my goodness.
That's why we also involved the Highway Patrol and police in the development of Pet Alert Emergency Information System. We do have a reflective sticker that's around the front door of your home or on your mailbox in a rural area that basically just has the stop sign Pet Alert logo, because you can use this anywhere in the U.S., Canada, Australia, England, wherever they speak English. They look for the logo, and when they see the logo, they are going to go to the back of your front doorknob, because that way, that's where it is. It's a doorknob hanger that lists the five pets by name, type, breed, color, if it has medical needs, handicaps. There's a lot of deaf and blind dogs now. They need to know that. Their favorite hiding spots, five contact numbers in case you're injured or not available, so they can have someone come house the animals or take care of them so they don't have to go to the shelter. And then it has close-up photos of each pet and their fear factors. This is another big reason why we included all this information. Also has a vital information card that carries the pet's medicine in case or medical needs, such as a diabetic pet. So that way, if they have to evacuate him, they know he needs insulin.
Is so good. I mean, I can even think of other uses. Like yeah. you, maybe there's no catastrophe in your neighborhood, but something happens to you. Now you've broken a leg and you're sitting in Emerge waiting for your x-ray and the hours are ticking by. So right. you call your neighbor and your neighbor's not there and their son's home from college and he says, I'll do it. What do I need to know? Look on the back of the door. It'll tell you everything. Can you please feed my dogs and my cat? Right? Like, it's so simple.
Well,
oh,
it's
great.
There's a wallet card that comes with it. It's a plastic wallet card, and it lists your emergency contact, so who you'd want to care for your pets, how many pets, and their names. And it also has a medical release on the back. And that's so if your pet is traveling with you in a car and in an accident and you're injured and you've gone to the hospital and your pet's injured, they have permission to treat it. And also they know there's a dashboard placard that goes into the vehicle. So, again, with that stop sign, they see it, and they'll know not to open the door and let him out. Or if he's been projected outside the vehicle, they know to look for it, not overlook him, since they know there's a pet involved with the accident. And then if your pet isn't in the vehicle, then you put it in the glove box or console so you don't mislead them. But,
this sounds so good to me because I've been in the situation. I run a boarding kennel and the people mm-hmm. give us a waiver form saying if there's any vet care required, they authorize and they'll, you know, but I still try to reach them. I still want to talk to them before anything serious happens with their pet or any incident. I like to call them as I'm driving to the vet, let them know what's going on. You know, sometimes it's a condition that is something ruptured in the dog or it has some kind of attack that they know mm-hmm. about already. You know, sometimes it just cut its paw. So it can be very minor or very major. But you'd be amazed how often the people think they'll be reachable. They give us quite a few contact numbers, cell numbers, and then they're just not reachable.
Right.
I will authorize treatment, but I always wish I could talk to them. I really do. And in your case, if you don't know the people, this is so important. When the vet wants to save the dog or save the cat and you mm-hmm. can't say yes, it's a terrible situation. So this is so good.
Well, they're, again, senior citizens, especially and single people, really need to have this wallet card on them. And the whole kit, that's why it's called a system, because you have to have proper information in your wallet on behind your front door so they can use it properly on the spot. They're not going to look up a database or call an 800 number. That's not what they're there for. But, again, in house fires, dogs only have 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how hot that fire is burning, and dogs hyperventilate. Birds only have about 5 minutes because of their lung capacity. So the more information they have as soon as they arrive, because they have to figure out first, number one, human life, and then control the fire. And then third, that's their secondary search where they look for it. So the stickers, if they don't, it tells them nothing. I mean, they're just going to wander through until they possibly might step on a dog bowl. You got to remember.
Yeah.
And
you know what else?
See.
A lot of people have those stickers on their houses and there's no information. They don't write two pets, three pets, dog, cat. Plus, they get old. The pets died 5 years ago. Now the fireman's in there looking for a dog that doesn't exist. So we don't want that.
That's why they stopped.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
so can you give out your website? Cammie, we've run out of time, but I want people to know where they can get your system, your pet emergency kit, and where they can find out more from Pet Alert. So could you give out your website?
Yes, it's petalert.com, PETALERT.com. And again, the basic kit is only $35 plus shipping, and there is a deluxe kit that also comes with a backpack and a collapsible bowl so you can start your disaster preparedness kit.
I love collapsible bowls. Love them because then you don't use the community bowls with all the Bordetella candle cough virus in it and other reasons too, territory, other reasons. The collapsible bowl is awesome. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us today, Cammie.
Please stay pet safe and I hope people take it to heart and protect their pets.
Well, it's really affordable when you consider it covers five pets and it'll keep them safe in an emergency and give you peace of mind. Okay,
that's
everyone,
right.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with something a little lighter. Could be as heavy as a rock. It could be, but it's kind of light. So stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And I love you. And you know that I need you too.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I told you we were going to have a little bit of a heavy topic, except it's really quite light. So what kind of a riddle is that? Well, coming to the show now is Evan Stewart. Do you want to explain that to our listeners? What on earth, what kind of a pet are we talking about next, Evan?
It's a pet rock throwback from the 1930s, and it's from the 1970s. It's a fellow by the name of Gary Dahl, bearded fellow man from the night who passed away just recently. He was born in 1930. A little story about Gary Dahl.
Okay.
While he was living in California, he was sitting and drinking beer with two friends, and two friends were complaining about their pets and how they had to clean up after them. He joked that he had the perfect pet and would make millions of dollars, that this pet would not need feeding, bathing, it would not whine, or never need a funeral. So they said, "What kind of pet is this?" He said, "A pet rock." So they laughed at him and said, "Yeah, right. You won't even sell a single one." But he sure did make them all look silly. Sold over 5 million of them pet rocks.
Wow. So, okay, how many have you sold?
I've been doing it for a little while, and it's ramping up. I've sold about, since we started, probably close to about 9,000 to 10,000 of them.
My goodness. You know, it's something I should leave behind when I go do a training session with people who really ought not to have a dog. You know, here's my recommendation for a pet that you've got the time for. Leave them a pet rock. Because sometimes people think they want a dog from those beautiful Christmas. Oh, the Santa has a golden retriever on some of the commercials. And lots of times there's golden doodles under the Christmas tree. And there's all kinds of things. And you know what? If you're ready for a dog, if you really researched it and you're ready and you're signed up, Christmas is a great time to get a dog because the family's home. It's a happy time. Yeah, for sure. But if you're not ready, if you just get it on a whim or as a present, a gift for somebody else, a dog's a lot of work. And so is a cat. They're not furniture. They're not just articles of conversation. If you really want a pet that's dead easy, the pet rock, right?
That's right. Why do so many people want to own a pet rock?
Well, yeah, why do they?
Well, that's a simple answer. You don't have to feed them, bathe them, or take them to the vet. They don't whine. And you don't have to go to the funeral.
Okay, now you don't walk your pet rock, do you?
Normally, I take it to the movies, and sometimes I sit by. I take it, you know, and I talk to it, or I take it
really?
To...
Does it have outfits, like little dress-up? You dress up your pet rock. See, this could be a whole new line, the fashion line for the pet rock. Clothes for the pet rock. Accessories.
Yeah, it comes with a nice carrier case with breathing holes. And,
very nice.
And a walking leash. So it's very cute. Very cute to look at. And I think they're adorable. A lot of people, I just love them.
Are they scared of anything? Are pet rocks maybe afraid of water because, you know, they would sink, right? Like bulldogs.
Yes, they do. They do have fears. They don't like to be around people who like to go rock like skipping.
Oh, yes. No, that would be very threatening to a pet rock. I can see that. And what about swimming? I guess swimming isn't their thing either.
No, they're afraid of that. That's the main fear.
And, right. Okay, I see that. Because really, otherwise, as a pet, they're solid as a rock.
Yeah.
They rock, really.
Yep. I've some people ask me about how old are pet rocks?
Mm-hmm.
And pet rocks are about 4.5 billion years, but it's the true birthday will be the day you receive it.
Oh, I see. So they're reborn, when they become your pet. It's like their adoption day. Interesting.
Yeah, it comes with a nice book and a nice instruction book. And it's comical and it's enjoyable. These nice little critters. I just love them. I have about 30 of them here in my home. I just love to look at them.
Well, if you want to see them and you're listening to the show and you're wondering what we're talking about, is this just a rock like you'd find on the driveway? No, it's not. Check out thepetrockthrowback.com. Okay, so what kind of colors do these come in? Let's give a little bit of a visual image for people listening to the radio.
Yeah, they come in the original craft color, pink, blue, happy birthday, Christmas Santa, rock and roll, a rock that loves to be rolled, and many more.
So this is definitely something you could put in a stocking or give as a Hanukkah gift or something like that, right?
Yes. We also have the minis, which are smaller. They're like one half the size. They come to the pet carrier case. It's about half the size. And I call them stocking stuffers, and they're also on our website. And they're very cute, and you love looking at them, and they're nice. They're very beautiful. Comes with a miniature book with it.
Is shipping a problem considering they're rocks? I mean, it must be heavy to ship.
We haven't any issues. They come around about one to 2 inches in length.
Oh, I see. They're pretty small. Okay, I get it now. So then shipping wouldn't be an issue. All right, everybody. So get your pet rock. Get your pet rock before Christmas. Get it before Hanukkah's over on Sunday. And send it to the pet owner who maybe should not have a pet or the person who's talking about having a pet. Oh, I'm going to go to Mexico and get a baby monkey, she says, the woman who doesn't even have time to deal with the pet she's got. Get her a pet rock instead. Thank you very much for joining us today, Evan.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for your time.
Okay, everyone. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment talking to True Dog on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you are not a fan of Donald Trump, you may want to look at the latest footage of him trying to look presidential with a real, actual bald eagle when he thought maybe he'd win Most Important Person or whatever it was through Time Magazine that the German leader won. Anyway, he poses with an eagle. And I want to say to the media, to anybody out there who ever gets invited to pose with any animal or decides to, if you're doing it at a really important moment in your life and you want a really particular effect, you should schedule it so you meet the animal off camera first, preferably with someone who works with people and animals like me. And then you'll get your jitters out, your nerves, your anxiety. You'll get really calm with the animal. The animal, if you can work with the specific one, even better, we'll get used to you and your smell. So when the cameras are rolling, it won't look awkward. It won't look like the eagle is attacking you. And it won't make you look the opposite of presidential when you're trying to pose with such an iconic animal. He did do a couple things that were kind of incorrect in bird speak. Nothing major, but enough to set that big, proud bird of prey a little off kilter. So it's definitely worth looking up. Okay, so, we're talking to somebody from Cincinnati, which makes me think of WKRP, a show about the radio. We're talking with Lori from True Dog. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Hi, thanks, Deb. It's nice to be here. I appreciate you having me on the show today.
Well, I want to talk to you about True Dog and True Pet. So what is True Pet?
True Pet is a company I started with, is the parent company of my first brand, True Dog, and it is a company that is focused on all animals living and loving us longer, and I created it out of my love for animals, and I lost my dog, Truman, to cancer way too early, so I decided to take matters in my own hand and create my own line of what I call superfood and super supplement products that have been tested on humans to be proven safe for pets. So I kind of like flipping that around too.
Tested on humans? I love it. Tested on humans, proven safe for pets. Yes, that is nice. I actually have a t-shirt that says against animal testing, and it shows a bunch of animals in a classroom trying to answer a math question. But yeah, Yeah, way to go. Nice one. Dogs and people are very similar. So a lot of times dogs, rats too, mice, are used. Dogs are used for experiments. And right now, all over the internet, you'll see the very first in vitro beagles were born. There's a cocker spaniel beagle couple, a beagle beagle couple, and a beagle beagle couple, and all those embryos, 19 frozen embryos, were implanted into one of the beagle moms. She then gave birth to 7 good puppies. All are well and good and have homes except one. And they're excited about this because it means they can do all kinds of research, and they may be able to save species by freezing, because they've always had problems with in vitro with frozen embryos before in animals. So it's really, really exciting. But at the same time, I guess it means more animal testing. So that's not good. It's always a balance, terrible balance. But anyway, it's nice to know your food is not victimizing animals. And when you talk about cancer and your dog, how young was Truman?
Truman had just turned, he was 4 years old. He was going to be 5. So he was almost 5 years old when he actually passed away, which he was a Great Dane. So some people believe, oh, well, you know, Great Danes live to be 8. But that's not actually true. If you feed your Great Dane the right way, now, I learned this lesson the hard way, unfortunately. And that's why it's so important for me to get this message out to people. Even now, I'll tear up. He was like, the love of my life. I love this dog. My dog I have now is named TJ, and his name is Truman Jr. It looks just like Truman. That's what all the healthy moms do, I think. But, and I love him. He's his own dog. But I just couldn't bear losing Truman so early. And that's hence the name True. That's the true part of True Dog. And it's his legacy that lives on.
How old is TJ now?
TJ's 8.
TJ's 8? A Great Dane at 8. Yeah. Okay. So, no, most people would consider that geriatric senior, pretty much winding down. How is Truman?
And I would always tell people, like, I love directing people to non-True Pet sites, because I like to, we all obviously will support our own position. So I like seeing someone else out there saying the same things I am. And there's a man named Thomas that's out on Long Living Pets. And he has done a 15-year study with over 1,000 dogs, a lot of them big dogs. He himself has Great Danes. And he has Great Danes eating raw, living to be 14 and 16 years old. And it's insane, but if you look into it, see it's possible, and most people don't know. Most people don't know that that's possible, but it is. And that's,
you know what? I totally get this. And if you can have a Great Dane live till 14, 16, imagine what your little cockapoo or mini poodle or, medium-sized border collie will live till. Because they're already living till 15, 16. Add another 10 on that. Oldest dog ever in the Guinness Book of World Records was a Blue Heeler, 28 years old, that they've recorded. But I've noticed anecdotally and through researching this very topic, historically, dogs used to live longer. The people, you wouldn't think, with all the science and modern nutrition, everything we know, and mass marketing, everything else, our dog should be living longer than the dog that just tailed around at your grandmother's heel eating the scraps in the kitchen. But that dog lived longer. What is with that? That's not right. And I bet that...
It's not.
No.
And what's interesting that you mentioned that is that, I have my own belief system on it, and I think there are some substantiated science and some research to support this, but really my opinion just comes from good old fashioned, call it your brain, your logic. But if you think about it, why are dogs, people, as we became more convenient society, as the microwave evolved, as, getting things done quicker and faster happened, we kind of did that for our dogs too. Only difference is the dogs simply just can't, even though some people argue it back and forth, but sugar is really hard on the human body too. And there's a lot of science to support that. It is the great incubator for cancer. A lot of people believe that. And if you want to look at our bodies and its reluctance to process sugar appropriately and what it does to your brain and to the neurons, it has triple the effect on dogs, because dogs absolutely are not designed for sugar. They are not designed to process sugar.
When you talk sugar, though, are you meaning white grains as well? Is that because most people don't give their dog candy or sugar specifically, but they are using processed dry foods that are mostly grains. Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean. And they're also heavily loaded with carbohydrates. So a lot of times that you'll see a lot of people talk about what they're not putting in the bowl anymore. You'll see gluten-free and this-free and that-free. But what you don't know is what more they're implying that they're putting more meat into the bowl, but they're not actually doing that. And there's other unnecessary ingredients, even if it's fruits and vegetables, that sound so delightful to us as humans. But for our four-legged friends, they're definitely not what Mother Nature designed. If you think about wolves in the wild, you know, I don't know about you. I live out in the country kind of, and, you know, we worry about the deer eating our landscaping, not the wolves or the coyotes. They're actually trying to eat the deer at our, you know, landscape buffet. But so it's just funny. We've humanized our pets so much in such a great way in some levels, but such a poor way in the fact that we actually start to extrapolate what we think sounds good would be great for them. And it's just not actually scientifically proven that that would be the case.
Most dogs would do really well on meat and vegetable and occasionally some grains. Most cats don't need grains at all. And yet most commercial dry foods are mostly grain. So it's kind of like, what? And then we're running out of time. You know what? We're going to have to come back and do another show in the future. But before we run out of time, can you tell people how they can get a hold of your amazing food?
Absolutely. So you could go to shop.truedog.com and you will see a full, all of our products, all of our services and that we offer for our dogs. And then you can also go to directly to TrueDog, TRUDOG.com. /boost-me, and you will be able to see our boosters, which a lot of people like to try because it's adding in the vital organs and nutrients necessary to go into your dog's bowl. So that way you don't have to go to the trouble of changing your dog's food necessarily. It's just our way of adding like a protein powder in.
So everybody, if you want to feed raw, you want to feed better, you're feeling guilty about it, you want it easy, this is the easy way to do the right thing for your dog, True Dog. Thank you very much, Lori. Stay tuned, everybody. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And while we were talking, I got an IM asking me, what did Trump do wrong to the eagle? Oh, you want to know that, do you? Well, it's not that he did anything wrong. He seemed to enjoy the eagle. He seemed to be interested in it. But there were a couple of things maybe he could have done differently. One thing was he should not have put his hands anywhere near his feet until it was comfortable with him. And once you make a move toward a bird like that, you don't retreat. So there were a couple times where he put his hand out to let it perch on him or to do something with it that he changed his mind and withdrew. They will peck you for that. They don't like the retreat. So that was a problem. He should have been coached about that. He probably should have been wearing a glove if the animal was going to jump onto him, if that was expected. A glove the birds used to. So there's a little bit in the prep that wasn't done right. And I gotta say it, his hair, oh my, I know it's his thing, but they warn joggers here in the Pacific Northwest that if you go jogging with a big bushy ponytail and it's flopping around, an owl or a bird of prey may attack you. So put it in a bun, cover it up, do not have floppy hair. They'll mistake it for their prey. So that's really what got the bird so excited, in my opinion, looking at the footage. Okay, everybody, so we'll go back to the show now. We're talking about horse therapy, and we're talking with Debbie Garcia Bangachia. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you for having us.
You came with horses.
I know, we're here. We've got a gang.
Nice. Oh, I wish I could smell them. I love the smell of horses. What kind of work do the therapy horses at Gentle Carousel do?
Well, they do a lot of different things. They work with about 45,000 adults and children each year inside hospitals and hospice programs, and they do a lot of work with families who've experienced traumatic events. So they were asked to come to places like Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown this year.
Such heavy work. Okay, so before we continue, these horses you're talking about, they're little, right? They're miniature?
They are.
They're teeny tiny?
they're small.
So you went to Sandy Hook and you brought them a visit of miniature little horses? Is that how that played out?
They do. I mean, when we're called and asked to come into a place with the horses, like we were at Charleston this year, to work with first responders and the families after the church tragedy there. But they're called in, and really the town or the organization that works with us sets up a schedule of what the horses are going to be doing. And so they do a lot of work with that. They were at in Moore, Oklahoma, when the children were trapped in the schools by the tornado in the big tornado
in
Oklahoma.
Oh, my gosh.
They were there.
So these little animals, are they calm? I mean, don't they get all upset by... I picture real horses, regular horses, full size, and they're nervous things. They're skittish. If you're nervous, they're nervous. You can't be nervous around them. How does that work with these little guys?
Well, they go through a two-year basic training program, and they're always learning new things. So to really be part of the work that we do inside hospitals, I mean, they can't go into an ICU in a hospital without really being calm and trustworthy and safe. And so they learn how to walk up and down steps and ride in elevators and walk on unusual floor surfaces and hospital equipment and all of that, and plus all the things that always happen, like helicopters landing or ambulances and sirens. And they're really pretty amazing with what they handle and what they do because, you know, even though they're small, they're still horses in every way. But
are they really similar to regular horses? Are they not more flighty? Like a smaller dog is a little bit more nervous than a larger one normally, or no? Are they?
No, I think they're like a regular horse. They're just small. So they are a flight animal, and they're a herd animal. And so when they, you know, walk in through a hospital and when they arrive at a location, they don't get a trial run. They really have to trust their handlers when they come in, and if there's cameras or, you know, wherever they're going in a hospital, they don't get a chance to check it out first. They really have to come in and be able to trust what's going on. And you know, and not just with visiting, but they also work as part of treatment teams. So they work with occupational and physical therapists and speech therapists in rehab hospitals, too, where they're actually part of the team working with patients who've suffered strokes or brain injuries or spinal cord injuries, things like that.
I just can't exactly picture it, you know. I've been many times to hospital visits with pets. I've been part of the program with dogs. But I'm wondering, like, I guess this is just, it must be obvious, but is there a bag to catch the poop? Like,
no,
how do you bring a hospital?
They could never go into a hospital if they weren't house trained. They're completely trained. So,
oh,
they're not...
what do you mean? You mean the miniature horse does not urinate or defecate except in an appropriate spot?
Yes, on command.
Really?
You know, never indoors. I mean, almost all of the work they do is indoors, and so they couldn't be doing that in intensive care at a hospital. Like we were just up in New York City, so they're going up and down all the elevators in the high-rise buildings. But they were asked by a doctor to come to Mount Sinai Hospital. There was a woman there who was in intensive care. She'd been an equestrian her whole life, and she wasn't going to be coming home. And the one thing she wanted was to be with a horse one last time. So, you know, they worked it out with the administration, and all of the horse handlers had the gowns and gloves and everything on, but our horse Magic was able to go into intensive care and really be with her and grant her final wish.
Okay, so now I want to ask you from the horse. When I worked with dogs, there were certain dogs that were so into this. They would seek out the person who needed the most, even if it wasn't the person that the humans thought needed the most. They just had this unbelievable need to comfort. Are these horses like that?
They are very much like that. You know, we were at a place with the same horse, Magic, and she went right over to a woman and laid her head in her lap, and the woman started laughing and she started talking. She said, "It's a horse. It's beautiful." I think she was so surprised to see a horse indoors. And we looked up, and the staff was all crying. They'd never heard her speak before. And, you know, she hadn't spoken the entire time in the years that she'd been at this assisted living facility. And they were able to say that they loved her, and she said, I love you, too. And she talked ever since after the horse left. But we see a lot of times where they come in and really zoom in on someone, and you find out later that there's a story behind the situation. We were with we went to a camp for children that had cancer, and one of the horses kept going back over to this one little boy who was sitting by himself. And, you know, they visited everyone, but this particular horse went over, and she put her forehead on his forehead, and they just sat together while he was sitting, and with their eyes closed. And we were kind of looking, and the nurses were pointing and looking, and it turned out that he had just found out that his cancer had come back. And so, you know, we really do find that the horses, which are, you know, horses are very sensitive, and they're herd animals, and they really pick up on subtle things, really identify people a lot in that way.
If someone listening right now wants to somehow get in touch to have a miniature therapy horse come visit their sick child or visit in some way, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact us. We're on Facebook. We have, you know, we have a website, but they can contact us. And we have locations in New York, L.A., and our main headquarters is in Florida, but the horses travel to children's hospitals across the country. So they can contact us that way, or hospitals often contact us and ask if the horses can come in and be with the children. So that's probably the best thing to do is Google us or get on Facebook under just therapy horses. And
we only have a very short time left, less than a minute. So I just want to ask you, how can people help you?
Well, this time of year, it would be great. We're looking for sponsors for individual horses. We're an all-volunteer charity, so everything that people donate goes directly to the work that the horses do across the country. So sponsoring a horse with a club or an individual or a business would be incredible this time of year.
Oh, really nice. If you know a horse lover on your Christmas list, this might be the way to go. Instead of giving them a present they don't want or need, you could do this, make them feel good, and you'll feel good, and little the horse will go make patients, little children feel good. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for the good work you do, Debbie.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That's Gentle Carousel, Miniature Therapy Horses. And we'll be back in a minute to close out the show. And I'm going to tell you about an incredible orangutan. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. To Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm coming up in a second with Chris Rubin, and he's got a guest coming on to talk about adoptashelter.com and some other things. But before we get to that, I will just tell you about the orangutan. It is so cool. Go on YouTube, go wherever you need to on your computer, look up orangutan magic. Orangutan, they have this orangutan in a zoo, and the keeper shows him a magic trick. It's just a simple ball and cup trick, and you see the orangutan watching it. And the reaction on this thing, he loves that magic trick. He gets it, he understands it, and he laughs his head off. And like we always say, roll on the floor laughing. Well, that's what he actually does. It is so cute. Orangutans in the zoos have to be watched. If someone goes in to fix something, they have to be frisked to make sure they haven't left any tools. The tools have to be counted, because if you leave one tool in an orangutan cage, he will disassemble the whole cage. That's how good they are at engineering. So they're very, very, very clever. And I'm not surprised they understand magic. All right. So coming up now, we've got Adopt a Shelter, adoptashelter.com, and Chris coming to us with a guest of his. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me again, Deborah. I really appreciate it. Yes, today I want to actually talk to you folks about adopt a senior and special needs animals. There are so many special needs and senior animals in sanctuaries and shelters around the country. And each year they take in thousands and thousands more. These animals require special diets, vet care, medicine. They cost many times more than what the average aged healthy animal costs. Thus, the sad part is they are euthanized at much higher rates. So in this segment, we want to kind of lend a voice to all the senior and special needs animals across the nation who are in shelters waiting to be adopted. Hopefully, while they're waiting, they're being treated really well. And so that's really what we're going to do in this little segment. And who I have with me today is Josh Radliff. He is with us today from the Golden Retriever Acres Senior Sanctuary in Spring, Texas, just north of Houston. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be on here.
Oh, Josh, a big welcome from me, too, and from all my listeners for the good work you do. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ms. Wolf. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Josh, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Man, a little bit about our organization. It was founded in 2012, and we've been going strong since then. We have two founders. We are a 501c nonprofit formed and incorporated organization. We rely specifically on donations to our sanctuary. About me and how I got started on the organization, I actually started out as a volunteer getting over a dog bite. When I started, I was actually completely terrified of animals, started out lending a hand in volunteering, and went on right from there to groundskeeping and maintenance for the dogs.
Oh, Josh, you know what? I want to intercept here. What kind of dog? Can you tell us about the dog bite? What happened to you?
I had a friend of mine who owned a pit bull, and I went into his backyard unannounced, and the dog grabbed me by the leg. Upper thigh area. It was very traumatic for me.
And now you don't fear dogs anymore? You can walk by a dog without getting nervous?
Oh, absolutely not. They are. I honestly believe that when it comes to any type of dog, whether it is a senior, special needs, or just a regular dog, they are a product of their environment. It is all about
the love.
That's
true.
And
you did make a big mistake going into that yard. A lot of people don't recognize that, but it's amazing you came all the way back to loving dogs and doing good work for them. I'm so glad.
I appreciate it. I absolutely love what we do here. Grass serves primarily as a refuge for older and special needs golden retrievers. These are the dogs that generally have a lot of life left in them and need a safe and secure and loving place to live during the golden years of their lives.
Is epilepsy a big problem in your shelter, I'm wondering?
That is definitely one of the special needs as far as goldens that I have seen, but it is not a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a couple that came in just a couple of weeks ago and took one of our very special needs, Gracie. They came, they saw her, they fell in love, and even after being told about her specific medical regimen from phenobarbital to potassium bromide, they did not care about what they had to pay to have her. They just wanted her. They signed papers and took her home that day. And
oh, that's beautiful. Sometimes they live a great life. It's just medication, right? Just a little bit of care and medicine a couple times a day. An epileptic dog can have a long, healthy life free of seizures.
Very much so. Absolutely.
Josh, tell us where do your animals come from?
We take animals anywhere from abandoned off the streets. We take them from animal rescue shelters such as Montgomery County, Harris County, abused and battered animals from puppy mills. I mean, I've seen it all.
Wow. And so are all the animals that you guys care for, are they in the shelter or the sanctuary? Or do you guys have like a group of foster parents?
Oh, man, I have a stack of lists of fosters who have been loving and caring and have placed several dogs for us. Anywhere from the foster to the shelter itself, we look at for every out for a dog to have a loving home and a caring situation to be in.
It's hard to imagine someone who would abuse a golden retriever. I mean, this dog who just loves is just so, so full of love and expression and compassion and fun and silliness. And how could you do that? And then you
Absolutely.
Reclaim them. You get their love back, right?
Absolutely. Actually, one of the my very own first rescue is, her name is Ladybird. She is turning 8 years old this year. She was a product of abuse. She was rescued out of downtown Houston underneath a abandoned trailer home with six puppies. When she was finally captured and brought into the vet, we were made to know that somebody actually abused her by tying fishing line or something very thin around her neck to keep her in place. And she is completely wary and cautious of other people, but she is my first rescue and the love of my life. And she just so loyal and awesome. It just takes time to get to know these dogs who have been battered or abused.
Well, the thing is, they give back. You know, I used to, when I used to watch Oprah and she would talk about her gratitude book and all that, and I just would think of rescue dogs. They are so grateful. Every day they're counting their blessings and giving back. They're trying to pay you back every single day. It's a relationship you won't get from a silver spoon puppy you order from a breeder that never had a bad experience. It's just a whole other level.
Absolutely. When it comes to senior animals, these ones that have just been owner surrendered, you know, when you take a pet, you should be taking a pet for life. When it gets old and it's younger golden or it's older golden years, you should not be giving up this animal. That is the most loving, relaxed time of the dog's life. And I
have
seen
so
many
people. It happens more often than you think,
too. Excuse me?
I said it happens more often than you think, too.
Oh, absolutely.
These animals, these aging animals are surrendered.
Oh, I would say at least 40% of our intake are actual drop-offs. We've had people from Louisiana to Kansas to Los Angeles actually drive to Texas to drop mm-hmm. off a golden retriever because we are a strict no-kill.
When you ask them, why are you bringing in this dog, what's the most common answer you get?
The most common answer I get is a downgrade from losing a house to going to an apartment and not wanting to pay the bill as far as having your pet there. And they just surrender the dog. It's literally one of the saddest excuses I've ever heard.
Are these people like upset? Are they crying? Are they grief-stricken with the parting of the pet or no?
Oh, absolutely. I have, my goodness. We had a 15-year-old
so the family's on hard times.
Senior golden who was just turned into us 8 months ago. He was driven down from Louisiana, product of a divorce, lost the house, moved into an apartment, passed off to the mother-in-law, extremely thunderphobic, would bite and tear things up, and they did not want to give him the proper medications needed to relax him. So he was turned in as an owner surrender, and the person who turned him in was completely remorseful towards the idea, because today, after 8 months, he was adopted last weekend and is in I can proud to report, is in a forever home, and his thunderphobia and his anxiety has been worked through, and he is such a wonderful dog.
Home for the holidays.
Nice. Sometimes they get better. These things we think are permanent aren't. It's just accumulative. The dog's under so much stress, he's having a meltdown. You get him out of that, you get him with a good home and meals he can count on, and everything else is gravy sometimes.
Absolutely.
Josh, tell us one of your most rewarding stories.
Oh, my goodness. One of the most rewarding adoption stories actually happened here just a couple of weeks ago. We had a dog that we took in and we were trying to capture near downtown Houston for weeks on end. It actually ended up coming down to us hiring a trapper who trapped this feral animal in a hog cage. Full golden, completely hairless, came to us broken and abused, covered in mange. And after 2.5 years of social work and love and care, the owners who took him to his forever home just a couple of weekends ago sent me an email saying, Josh, this dog is so well-mannered. This dog is so well-reaction with other dogs and has such good social skills, you would never tell it was a feral animal.
You know what, gentlemen, I'm afraid I've just been given the warning that we've run out of time. So we have about 2 minutes left. If you'd like to just say a few more words about how people can find you, how they can get a hold of Adopt a Shelter, because it sounds like this might be what's going on here. Have you adopted this shelter? Is that what's happened?
Well, what we became aware of, Josh, here in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he registered his organization to participate in AdoptAShelter.com as a fundraising tool. And as we got to know Josh and the work that they were doing, we became a little more familiar. And I had been thinking about a segment like this for a while, I wanted to give some of those seniors and special needs animals a voice. And what better way to do it than to call it the AdoptAShelter.com segment and feature some of these great people and the great stories and the great animals that are out there. It's like you say, these animals are so grateful. And these are just such rewarding things to hear, but it's also important to give these folks, like Josh and his organization, a platform by which they can make people aware of the fact that these senior animals and these special needs animals do cost a little bit more, so maybe give a little bit more. And if you can't, then make sure you shop through AdoptAShelter.com. Josh, what say you to that?
Absolutely. Any senior dog or special needs Goldens I have seen make such a change in many, many lives of the adopters and just the stories that I have a whole pile. Anywhere from a special needs child who is wheelchair bound and adopted a senior who was relaxed, giving just that child the comfort and knowledge and love of being close by and loyal was more than enough to change that entire family's life. I mean,
so where can I just want to make sure my listeners know where your website is so they can look up some of these stories. What's your website there, Josh?
Oh, absolutely. www.grass-tx.org is our website. And GRASS is the acronym for our company, Golden Retriever Acres Senior Sanctuary. They can look us up online there, or they can go to our Facebook at the same one, Golden Retriever Acres Senior Sanctuary. We have many rewarding stories on the website, as well as many dogs who are looking for a wonderful home.
Thank you for joining us today, Josh. Chris, could you please? Oh, yeah. No, it's been great. And thank you for the work you do, really, to help the animals. It makes me feel good to have you on the show. So, Chris, could you please explain to people, because you just brushed over that a little bit, AdoptAShelter.com, when you said, if you can't send some money to the Golden Retrievers, and you can't take a Golden Retriever yourself, but you want to do some good, you could shop at AdoptAShelter.com. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yes. So for all of the listeners and animal lovers out there who shop online, it certainly is a more convenient way to fight the crowds, the weather, the traffic. So when you shop online at your favorite store, instead of going there directly, if you'll just click through AdoptAShelter.com, and pick one of the great organizations, like GRASS, then basically everything, then you click through to over 750 stores, from Amazon to Zazzle and everything in between. And each time you buy something that way, a percentage of everything you buy goes to the organization you chose. It's a real simple concept. It's free to the user. It's free to the shelter. You pay the exact same prices as if you went to the retailer directly. But in this case, the retailer is paying a commission, and we simply reroute it to the good folks like Josh and all the many other organizations out there just trying to do the hard work.
Nice. Well, I might put that up on my website. I'm revamping my website right now, dubwolf.ca, and it's going to have some special things that I believe in and some special offers for people and send them places for only the best stuff. So that might be workable. I might be able to figure that out. I'm hoping so. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today, Chris. That's AdoptAShelter.com. And if you're going to buy purchases online, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. Like, I tried to get a backpack for my son's big camping trip, and I just couldn't find the right size, right weight, right everything in the store. They just were sold out. I went to Amazon.com, and it arrived, and great, if I'd known about this, I could have done the right thing and made a donation at the same time. There's other reasons, too. Sometimes you're looking for that exact hair conditioner or the thing you love that's now all of a sudden not on the shelves. Well, check it out. It'll be online. And at the same time as getting it for the usual price, just comes right to your door. But now you're giving a few dollars to some older golden retriever who loved his family his whole life and now is homeless in a shelter and needs to have some help with the bills for his meds. So it'll just make you feel so good to do this. AdoptAShelter.com. Thank you for helping us discover this, Chris.
Hey, no problem. And always thank you for allowing me to speak with your listeners. It is a privilege and a pleasure.
Well, it's nice having you. Okay, everybody, the next time you look at an orangutan in the zoo, do not tease it. It might be smarter than you. Be good to your animals until next week. From me, Deb Wolf, at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime you're